Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
If you have a Bible, turn it to Psalm, the 24th chapter. We're going to look at verse 1 together, and then we're going to go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 1 and verse 2. If you are there, go ahead and say, I am there. If you're not, we'll have it on the screen for you. I read from the English Standard Version. Some people have asked, like, what version do you use? It's the English Standard Version. But Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's. Who does it belong to? The Lord. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. How many of you understand you are one of those who dwells therein? The big idea here is that everything belongs to God, everything comes from God and is a gift to me. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's just a gift. So the question we should ask is, how should I live in response to that reality? How should I respond to the fact that everything comes from God and is a gift to me? And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to address here in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1, where he says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means I'm appealing to you that you present your whole self over to God as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to God. It is actually your spiritual worship. Another translation will say, it's your reasonable service. In other words, it's just reasonable that you would respond to God by giving him everything. He says, present your bodies, your whole self, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Another way to say that is, allow God to change your heart. Why? So that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I need to be transformed by God so that I can know God's will and accomplish it. Turn to the person next to you and say, be a living sacrifice. In 1519, Hernan Cortez sailed from Cuba to what is now known as Mexico. To get there, he had to travel across the Gulf of America. You're welcome. And but the purpose of him traveling from Cuba to what is now known as Mexico is he was going to conquer the Aztec Empire. Now, he knew that this was going to be a huge challenge, and his concern was that his crew would see the challenge, get scared, and want to retreat. So the game plan he came up with is, we're going to burn the boats. In other words, we're taking away the option to leave. We're not going back. We're not looking back. We're moving forward. We are going all in. Turn to the person next to you and say, we are going all in. I believe that's the tone the Apostle Paul is taking in Romans 12 when he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He's encouraging us to go all in. He's encouraging us to burn the boat to the past we used to be a part of. He wants us to burn the boat to the way we used to think, burn the boat to the way we used to live, so that now we're not living according to the pattern that the world has carved out, but we're living according to the kingdom of God. And how many of you know those are two different things? As a matter of fact, they work opposite of one another. Because, you know, the pattern of the world would say, if somebody's done you wrong, be bitter. Hold on to that. But the kingdom of God would say, don't be bitter. Forgive, because through forgiveness, you're actually going to find freedom. The pattern of the world would say, if somebody's done you wrong, don't show them any love. Give them a piece of your mind. But the kingdom of God would say, love them anyway. The pattern of the world would say, greatness is through what you achieve. You should excel and push people down along the way to get whatever you need to get where you want to go. The kingdom of God would say, greatness is achieved through being humble, learning to be a servant. And he says, if you'll learn to humble yourself, I'll exalt you. I'll lift you up. I'll get you where you need to be, but if you exalt yourself, I'm going to actually humble you. So we're breaking away from the pattern of the world. We're living according to the kingdom of God. It's all about going all in. I'm going to be a fully devoted follower of Christ and his purpose for my life. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going all in. That is Paul's thesis for how we should respond to the fact that everything comes from God and everything that we have is a gift to us, including our salvation. It's his estimation that that is the only reasonable response to what God has done for you. The way God sees it is you're either all in or you're all out. There is no like middle ground with God. We've created a category for being like a halfway in Christian, but not in God's eyes. You're either all in or you're all out. I mean, think about a marriage. How many of you have ever been married before? Raise your hand. How many of you in here, you can put your hand down, like one day you want to get married? Raise your hand. Or keep your hand up, because this is your opportunity to look around and find the other single people in the room. I mean, guys, listen, you find the lady with her hand up and you go offer to buy her some tacos after church. 90% of the time, it works. 10% of the time, okay? That math is accurate. But if you've been married before, there's a wedding ceremony of some sort, and then you exchange some vows, and then each of you get a wedding ring. What I want you to understand is it doesn't matter how beautiful the ceremony was. It doesn't matter what you said during your vows. It doesn't matter what your ring looks like. If you are not fully committed to that person, it is meaningless. The same is true with Christ. I mean, we can say a prayer of salvation saying, Jesus, come into my heart and my life, but that is meaningless unless we actually give him our life. God would say it this way, like, I would rather you be hot or I would rather you be cold, because lukewarm doesn't work. Turn to the person next to you and say, lukewarm doesn't work. You got to either be all in or you got to be all out. Now, I need to slow down a little bit here, because when we're talking about this, some of you are thinking, I need to do more. I need to do better. And that's not really a bad way to think, but I need to slow down, because I don't want you to think that your doing is what earns your salvation. Because there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. Only the shed blood of Jesus can do that for you. So it's not what you do, it's what you believe about what Jesus has done. If we don't get that right, then we will live by a checklist of do this, don't do that. Be this way, don't be this way, go here, don't go there, and we'll think we're okay. The problem is, it is okay, it is possible to do all the things you think are good and still not have any part of Christ. Because it has nothing to do with what you do, it's all about what you believe, about what he has done. But, and here's the big but in the room, just because it's not about what you do doesn't mean there aren't some things you need to do. See, My salvation is based upon what I believe, but what I believe will be seen through what I do. Does that make sense to you? Whenever my dad used to teach the fruit of the Spirit, he would teach it this way. You know, the fruit of the Spirit are the things that should be evident in the life of a person who is filled with the Spirit of Christ. Like, eventually, these things are going to be evident. And he said, if there was a court case and they were trying to convict you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? That's a great question. Now, I'm not saying we are perfect people, because please hear me. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We're going to continue to make mistakes. So it's not about being perfect. But at some point in time, this life that we have in Christ should be evident. And it may not start off immediately, but over time, once the seed is planted and it matures, eventually there's going to be some fruit. Eventually, you would be able to look at the tree and say, I know that's an apple tree because I see some apples hanging on it. So it's not what you do, but at the same time, the tension that we have to hold on to is what I believe will be seen through what I do. I want to show you this in Scripture in Ephesians 2nd chapter. I want you to go there with me, because I want to break this down for you to in a way that you can understand it. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. That means you were cut off from the life of God and his purpose. Now, there are only two categories. One category is those who were dead. The other category is those who are still dead. He says, you were, if you're in Christ, you were dead, but that's not the case anymore. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. There was a pattern you used to follow, but that's changed up now. See, you used to follow the course of this world, the pattern of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. Can I stop right there and just let you know, we were all there at one point in time. None of us are good apart from God. You need to know that, because if you don't, you'll live judgmental. And when somebody messes up, you'll be there to put them down instead of lift them up and restore them. We need to come at this thing understanding that we are all jacked up. We are all in need of help. Jesus is the only solution. I am a work in progress. Are you with me? If you hear nothing else this morning, please hear that I am not a perfect man. I am a person that is working towards becoming who God has called me to be. There is a process I am walking through. But he says, you all once lived in the passions of your flesh. See, when you live according to the pattern of the world, you're allowing your flesh to drive you instead of the Spirit of God to lead you. He says you were carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So that's the pattern that Paul is saying that we've got to walk away from to step into the kingdom of God. We walk away from a life that is fueled by the flesh, even though we still have a flesh nature. That's not what's ruling me. I am now ruled by the Spirit of God. And so if I see something in the Word of God that I'm not living into, I've got to be willing to say, you know what, God, I'm moldable. I'm teachable. And I'm willing to turn. It may not be easy, but I believe that your Spirit will give me the ability to go where you have called me to go. The problem is you can't get there on your own. It takes someone doing for you what you cannot do for yourself, and that's the gospel. Jesus did that. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus did that. Verse 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In other words, even though you were running in the wrong direction, Jesus was still running after you. Even though you didn't give a flip about Jesus, Jesus gave a flip about you. Isn't that amazing? Even when I was dead, he was coming after me. Even when I was his enemy, he loved me. And there's nothing you can do to escape that love. Why? Because it's not about what you do. It's about what he has done. And Paul is inviting us to just simply lean into what he's done. But he's saying, if you truly lean in, then something's going to shift. Because you'll no longer be led by your flesh. You'll be led by the Spirit. Are y'all with me still? Turn to the person next to you and say, are you still breathing? I need you to get this. He says, you were dead in your trespasses, but he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Remember, it's not what you did. He says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, this is what I want you to hear. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift from God. So when in Psalm 24:1, when we say the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, like everything's a gift from God, including your salvation, because you did nothing to earn it and you can never do anything to earn it. You could feed all of the hungry people in the world. You could clothe all the naked people in the world. You could house all the homeless people in the world and you would still fall short of where you need to be. So Jesus comes and does for us what we cannot do. And our faith in that saves us. It's not a result of works, so that anyone may boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for, say it with me, good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're not saved by what we do, but once we're saved, there are some things we should do. Can I say that again? We're not saved by what we do, but once we're saved, there are some things that we should do. There should be a shift. See, now I am able to forgive people and desire to forgive people because I actually believe that Jesus forgave me when I didn't deserve it. Now I'm able to love people that don't deserve my love because I believe Jesus loved me when I didn't deserve his love. My church attendance doesn't save me, but I believe Christ Jesus died for the church, and so I'm going to make it my mission and my point in life to be a part of his church because he values it. Are you seeing this? You need to hear that. Like, my attendance doesn't save me, but my desire to attend is there because of what I believe. I give because I believe he gave everything to me. See, I truly believe that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I truly believe with my whole heart everything belongs to him. And it's just a natural response to return to him what he's given me as my form of worship. I love the song that we sang today where he says, it's your breath in my lungs. It's your breath in my lungs. It's your breath in my lungs. And so I choose to use that breath you've given me to declare your goodness. It is my spiritual worship. I'm all in every part of me. And it's not out of obligation. Please hear what I'm saying. It's not out of obligation. It is a joyful response to what he has done. See, most of us in our natural mind do not grasp the fullness of what Christ Jesus did. I mean, we can quote like, well, he died for me. But how many of you have allowed the weight of that to really settle on you, that he gave all for you. That's why the Bible teaches us to meditate on his word. It means to chew, to think, to dwell on, to wrestle with his word, because it allows the gravity of what God has done for us to settle on us, and that will shape us. But many times we don't do it. We just think, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and it's a flannel board character that's really neat and nice, you know, not realizing that he went through so much more than just suffering on the cross. That's huge. But he went through so much more than that, and he did it for you. Watch what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 9. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." What does that mean, that he became poor? Does that mean he just didn't have any money in his bank account? See, there's way more to this. He left the comforts of heaven to come to earth and live as a human being, which was a major downgrade. Think about this. The omnipresent God, which means he's everywhere at all times, has now confined himself to live in a single human body. The all-powerful God is now confined to humanity. The all-knowing God that knows everything at all times is now a baby that has to learn to do some stuff. He has to learn how to walk on feet he created. He has to learn to speak with the mouth he created. The same God who spoke creation into existence is now learning to talk. Why did he go through all this? Because he loves you. And all Paul is wanting us to see is everything that God has done, and he's saying it's only reasonable. He went all in. It's only reasonable that you would go all in. And it's not an obligation. It's a joyful response. That's what he wants us to see. We're not doing what we do for God out of obligation. It is a joyful response. I don't know if you know this, but I like to boat. Anybody like to boat out there? If you bought me a fully loaded boat that does everything I want to do, I promise you, it will be no obligation for me to put that thing on the water. It'll be a joyful response. If I wrote you a check today for $1 million, I promise none of you would feel obligated to go to the bank and cash it. You would go in singing and rejoicing. Why? Because it's your joyful response to what has been done for you. See, Jesus has done way more than buy you a boat or give you a check. He gave his life so that you could have life. Because without Jesus, there is no life. So everything I do is a joyful response, not an obligation. I don't show up to church because I feel obligated to show up to church. Oh, if I don't go, the pastor will think, you know, I'm a loser. Has nothing to do with that. I show up because I believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I believe that powerful things happen when we come together. I don't raise my hands in worship out of obligation. I don't raise my hands in worship because Randy's up here saying, "Hey, everybody, right now, raise your hands." I don't sing the songs because Randy's like, "Come on, everybody, sing." And I'm like, "I don't really want to, but I will." I mean, if that's your attitude towards worship, don't do it. Because it doesn't matter how high your hands are if your heart's not in it. If you're not sitting here going, "Oh, God, your breath is in my lungs and I've got to use it to praise you. Because that's what I'm designed for. It's to love you and to serve you and to honor you and to get loud about it." And some of you are like, "Well, that's just not how I was raised. I wasn't raised to get excited in church." Well, you need to get over your past and stop worshiping God based upon how you were raised and start worshiping him based upon what he says is worship. He says, "Make a joyful noise." Well, I don't like joyful noise. I don't care. You need to know this because we're talking about like being all in or all out. Like, if you don't like joyful noise, you're going to hate heaven. You need to know that. I just want to be fair with you. Like, I don't want you to get there and be like, oh my goodness, this is not exactly what I thought it was going to be. Can somebody show me to the Presbyterian section? You know, I want to go to a church where everybody's Caucasian. You're going to hate heaven. Because it's going to be every tribe and language. Like, there's going to be people that don't look like you. Or if you could show me to the Caucasian section of heaven, I would really appreciate that. Yeah, they're over there with the devil. Yeah. No. I have people like, you know, I don't like these lights in church. I don't like lighting. You're going to hate heaven because Jesus is going to shine bright. You're not even going to need the sunshine because Jesus is going to shine so bright, and it's going to be colorful. We don't use a fog machine anymore. You know, people are like, I just don't like the fog machine into church. Well, you're probably not going to like heaven because it's going to be filled with his glory, which is a cloud. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes we move in our feelings instead of like by the Spirit. And like, we've got to break away from this pattern of how we were raised and culture and just say, I'm all in. I'm going to worship with everything I got. I'm going to give with everything that I got. I'm going to serve with everything that I got. And it's not obligation. It's a joyful response because he's such a big God. See, for me, when I give, I don't give out of obligation. I truly believe that everything that I have comes from him. And so when I give, it's my way of honoring him with what he's placed in my hand. Can I show you what the Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 9? It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. That means honor God with what he's given you and with the first fruits of your produce. Now, for me, and again, I'm not telling you be like me. I'm just saying for me, for how I believe, based upon the scripture I read, it is a joy for me to return a portion of what he's given back to him, because I realize it honors him. See, this is just me again, because I know everybody's got different opinions. I'm not even worried about where the money's going. See, there's a lot of people like, well, if I knew we were feeding the children in Africa, I'd give. To me, it doesn't matter where the money's going. I give because I honor God. Now, if the money isn't stewarded well, then God will deal with the person who was called to steward it. But I'm going to be blessed based upon what I've done. So, when I get paid, I pay my tithe. Next week's my birthday. If you give me money, a portion of that is being returned to God. And it's a pleasure for me to do that. I don't have to budget tithing in because I've always done it. It's just a part of who I am. Like, that happens. Now I can look at what kind of car I can get. Now I can look at what kind of house I can have. Now I can look at what kind of, because that's just, that belongs to God. A few weeks ago, I hit puberty. No, I could have just let it go with the crack of the voice. I don't know why that happens still, but, you know, I'm human. Some of you are like, I'm never coming back to this church. I love you anyway. But a few weeks ago, I was, y'all still with us online? My approval rating's going down for about a minute. But, a few weeks ago, I was invited to speak at a church. And God moved in a powerful way. And after the service, the pastor wanted to know how to deal with the honorarium. And I said, well, you know, we'll figure that out later. So the next morning, I was sitting by myself, drinking my coffee. I was studying scripture and I was praying. And as I was praying and studying scripture, God brought my mind to the story of Jericho. For those of you who are not familiar with Jericho, it's the first city that Israel conquered on their way into the promised land. And as they conquered it, God told them that since it is the first, everything you get from it is going to come back to me. It's going to belong to me. Don't touch any of it. And so I was thinking about that story, and I realized that the church I was invited to speak at was the first church outside of our church or family churches that I've been invited to speak at. And I felt within myself to treat that opportunity like Jericho. And I told the pastor, I said, I don't want anything from the speaking engagement. That belongs to God. You can do whatever you want to do with. And some of you are like, that's crazy. But see, I truly believe that what God is going to do in my life will be far greater than that one gift. Why? Because I truly believe when you honor God with your wealth, he builds your life. Where do you get that, Pastor? Well, let's look at verse 10 of that same. After he says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your produce. Verse 10, he says, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. See, this is an agricultural people. He's trying to show them, like, if you'll honor God with what he grows for you, he'll cause more things to grow for you. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. When he sees you're willing to release seed, he brings more back into your life. Watch what the Bible says in Malachi, the third chapter, verse 10. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Now, that word tithe means tenth. It means 10%. It's saying, bring 10% into the storehouse. Why? Because that belongs to God. God says in his word, the tithe belongs to me, it's holy to me. And I want you to understand and pay attention that it says bring. Somebody say bring. Whatever the Bible deals with tithe, it'll be bring, return, pay, never give. And here's why. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only bring it, return it, or pay it. See, Justin, if I was going out of town this week, say I was flying out of town, going on a vacation, and I came up to you after church. I was like, hey, bro, here's my truck keys. I want you to just be able to use my truck this week because I don't have any need of it. So all week I'm gone. Justin's driving my truck. Now, let's say at the end of the week when I come home, Justin calls me on the phone. And he's like, hey, Pastor, I hope you enjoyed your trip. And I'm like, I did. Well, I want you to know, because it's really on my heart, Jessica and I have prayed about it, and we want to give you the keys to the truck. I'd say, Jack, you ain't giving me nothing. You're returning what already belongs to me. Are you seeing that? So when I return a portion of what God has given me, I'm not giving him anything. I'm simply returning, and I'm honoring him with what he has placed in my hands. Okay? So he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. What is he saying? When you honor me with what I place in your hands, I will take care of your life. I will make sure your needs are met. Is anybody familiar with that verse in Scripture where it says, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches? You know that verse? Paul is speaking, go read it in context. Paul is speaking to people who have financially supported his ministry. And he's assuring them, because you have honored God in this way, God is going to supply your needs. That is all through Scripture. It is before the law. It is during the law. It is after the law. See, some people get caught up with, well, tithe was the law. And when you get to that point, you're missing it because it had nothing to do with the law. It was all about honor. If you know the story of Jacob, and he's just one of many, Jacob, before the law, tells God, he says, God, I'm going to return a tenth of everything you give to me. Why? Because he recognized the greatness of God and he wanted God to partner in every aspect of his life. See, that's what it is, all in. I'm going all in. God, I want you involved in every aspect of my life. I'm not holding anything back. And Paul says, it's only reasonable. In light of everything God's done for you, it is only reasonable. When I was a kid, I was very different, to say the least. But one of the things that I used to enjoy doing as a kid is watching Christian television. I loved watching the singing. I loved watching the preaching. I remember Mike Perkey, I long for, you know. But there's just something that drew me to it. I always loved listening to preaching. And so they would do these share-a-thons where it's like, hey, we're raising money to buy another satellite. And as a kid, I wanted to be a part of that. And so I would send like these little offerings in. It wasn't a lot, but I didn't have a lot. And sometimes I would borrow it from my parents and I'd send it in and I'd get the little night light. It was the love gift for sending your love gift, you know. And it was just a part, I just loved being a part of that. And then as I got older, when I got a job, the first thing I did was establish my tithe. Remember, I told you I don't have to budget it in because I've always done it. There's never been a time in my life that I wasn't a tither. And I thought that's how all Christians lived. I'm being honest with you. I thought Christians tithe until I became a pastor. And I realized that's not the case. See, there's a small percentage of people who give anything at all. And then out of that, there's an even smaller percentage that actually return a tithe. And I think it's because we don't fully understand what it is. We get caught up in law and this, and it has nothing. It's all about honor. Will I honor God for who he is in my life? Will I burn the boat and go all in, or will I try to hold back a portion? And when I talk about burning the boat, for some of you today, the boat is not money. For some of you, the boat you need to burn is your bitterness. For some of you, the boat you need to burn is your unforgiveness. For some of you, the boat you need to burn is the person that you've been at work or the way you've been at home. We've all got things that God is calling us to walk away from and to go all in to honor him with our whole life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your spiritual worship. It's your reasonable response to what God has done for you. Oh, church, you know what it would look like to have a place filled with people who honor God in the way he deserves to be honored? Worshiping God in the way he deserves to be worshiped? This place would be electric on a Sunday morning. But see, we don't take time to meditate on who God really is. And sometimes we want to develop him into our image instead of us being developed into his image. Today we got to burn some boats. There is no looking back. I'm moving forward. I'm partnering with God and his purpose for my life.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.